You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to The Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Been wanting to talk to this guy for a while. He's got a new book, Walking Miracle, How Faith, Positive Thinking, and Passion for Football Brought Me Back from Paralysis and Helped Me Find Purpose. It's available November 30th. You know the story, Ryan Shazier. It's sort of the greatest fear that you have watching football and playing football, that one moment to the next, without expecting it, you're the one chosen to suffer the thing that changes your life. And so Ryan joins us now, and thank you for joining us. And you have been an uplifting story since then about the ravages of the sport and about the strength that you have found in retirement to have this be your calling. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story. But I got to imagine, and maybe your positivity is such that I've got this wrong, that going around and selling a book and talking about this trauma again and again is a hard thing to keep reliving.
I know that it's really hard for most people to overcome something or talk about something that's been really hard in their past. But all of us have gone through something hard in our past. And, you know, it's times that we have to bring it up, talk to people about it. So this is the life that I'm living now. I can't change it. Sometimes I fall asleep and like, man, is this a dream? But obviously it's not. And, you know, I think the best thing to do now is to try to help people grow from what I experienced, grow from my pain instead of trying to run away from it.
Is your story a positive one? Is it a dark one? How do you classify it, right? Because it's not about just getting up on your feet and conquering something. You had part of your identity taken away. You had your life changed in an instance in a way that no one can prepare for.
To me, and you'll see this in the book for sure, but for me, you'll be able to tell. Let me say, for me, I think it's a positive one. But for everybody else, you can take what you get from it. Like, if you feel like it's a dark one, you can say it's a dark one. If you think it's a positive one, you think it's a positive one. Me, I think it's a positive one. I think it's a light at the end of the tunnel. And the reason I say that for those who think it's a dark story or, man, this sucks, you know, to go from a superstar athlete to not playing anymore and, you know, playing a game for 25 years. And when I say, I mean, 20 years of your life, you know, that can be dark to a lot of people, you know. But to me, I felt like I found some of my best friends in this journey. I found more meaning to me in this journey. I was able to, you know, humble myself a little bit. I felt like I was a pretty humble guy, but my family said it was definitely some things that they noticed that I might have not been prepared for the moment that was arising. You know, so it was a few things that I've gone through in my life that I would say could be dark, but to me, I feel like it was more of a blessing than a curse, because it's nice to have, you know, a lot of money and be a superstar athlete, but then also it sucks because sometimes you just don't never know who's really there for you. And for me, I was able to find out who's really there for me, who really has my back, and actually find a purpose in my life.
Okay, and I think this is the part, Stugatz, where you might get a man who doesn't do emotion to be emotional, because I can't imagine what it is like to have that taken from you and then to turn around and realize, oh, look at the people who are with me because they really love me, because it's not about all the other stuff. Now I need help with the simple stuff. I need real love. And to find purpose in that outside of what you were doing, Ryan, must be an illuminating enlightenment to realize, oh, maybe if I can't even walk, I'm meant to walk the earth to feel these kinds of things from these people and return it.
I completely agree. It's a lot easier for people to say yes to you and you're right when you have millions of dollars in your pocket. Are you the breadwinner? Are you somebody that everybody wants to like? You know, when you're in a different light, when everybody sees you down and see that you're hurting, it's a lot harder to like that type of person, or a lot harder to be kind or be on that person's side. And just to see how, you know, the tables have turned, and to see who is still there by me, and to see who is still true, and just even to see who is still check up on me. It can be the littlest things, you know. As before, it'll be people I'll talk to on a regular basis when I played. And then after I stopped playing, it's like I haven't heard them to this day, you know. So, like, is that a friend, you know? So, I think those type of things. But then also, God allowed me to understand through this injury, I can relate with so many other people now. And it's a lot of people that go through difficult times, a lot of people that go through spinal cord injuries, a lot of people that go through, you know, life-changing events in their life. And as a national football player, as somebody that's a superstar, people just see you on TV, they think your life is almost fake. You know, so it's kind of hard to relate with somebody. It's easy to, you know, give money, but it's hard to understand what somebody else is going through.
Who helped you the most? Like, what was the worst of it when you, because professional athletes don't like to be needy. They like to be self-sufficient, right? And and all of a sudden that it's many things about your life changed. Football was only one of them.
Yeah. So my wife and my family definitely were the ones who helped me the most. I can't even go without saying that, but just the whole Steelers organization, the NFL did a good job of just being behind my back, and my agency did a good job as well. But I really found some true friends. Like now, a lot of the guys I used to hang out with were around my age group. But a lot of the guys I hang out with now are probably around your age group. And I'm not trying to call you old.
Unathletic, old and unathletic, I think is what you were trying to call. But you're not with professional athletes anymore. We get it. You're with guys who look more like us.
No, but the thing is, I feel like I found true friendship in some of those guys. When you're around somebody every day, like they become your friend just based off of necessity, based off of just being around each other. Like we'll see each other every single day, we'll be cool. And then you go into off season when everybody goes home and you don't hear each other again. And then you come back and you're friends again. And it's almost like kids in school, you know? So, you know, as I start going through my injury, I just started spending more time with other people, and then our kids are around the same age. And it was just things like that that would allow me to be, you know, allow me to grow true friendships. But I'm not going to lie, I still have a lot of good friends in NFL. Like I do. But I just, to me, I felt like some of the best people in my life have came after the game of football, besides my family and things like that.
But can you explain it to us, Ryan? Because you really did in a second, right? I probably have this, right? His new book, Walking Miracle, How Faith, Positive Thinking, and Passion for Football Brought Me Back from Paralysis and Helped Me Find Purpose. It's available now. It's available November 30th. You went from immortal to mortal to the most mortal in a flash, right? You're a two-time Pro Bowler. You're a young man. You've made it to the height of athletic achievement, climbing over God knows what to make a profession of that very few get to make a profession out of, and in a snap that you never saw coming, right? Because everyone in football thinks they're bulletproof. It'll not happen to them.
You're very true about that.
You went from immortal to mortal in a flash. Your life changed on that field that second. The book starts with that as the centerpiece, yes?
Yes, sir. And the one thing, like I said before, it's a lot easier for people to see you and see, like, man, he's a superstar athlete. Man, his life is almost like a dream. And it pretty much almost is. When you're at the highest of the high, you know, two-time Pro Bowler, you know, and I felt like I could have been a plenty more Pro Bowler. I could have definitely kept getting them. You know, I definitely feel like I was on an up trajectory and not like I felt like I wasn't plateauing. You know, so I feel for your life to change in an instant like that, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult because you see and envision something. And I'm not going to say you put all your eggs in one basket, but you definitely put a lot of eggs in the basket because, you know, like, hey, people get hurt. And I even told my wife, I was like, you know, I hope I don't get hurt this year. But, you know, worst case scenario, if I do get hurt, I'm probably going to have an ACL or something and I might miss a year. You know, like, that's the type of injuries that people think of when you get hurt. You know, you don't think of, you know, Bud Dupree had an ACL, Odell Beckham had an ACL, Adrian Peterson had an ACL, but all those guys were able to play again, you know? And you know that there are injuries that will cause you not to be able to play the game of football again, but you never think it will happen to you. And then to go to that and then not be able to play again, but also not be able to walk again, it's life-changing because you go from almost having everybody depend on you to you depending on everybody. And that's not a good feeling when you definitely been on the other side of being the one that's always been, you know, the head of the household, the leader, the one that has always been there for everybody else.
Ryan, this might be a dumb question, but for your wife who loves the man, not the athlete, who had to love him back to health, what do you imagine was harder, watching you on the field in that state, the fear of every family, or dealing with whatever the initial darkness had to be that you were not prepared for? There had to be a period of transition. You don't just go from that to light again, no matter how positive you are. Which one would you imagine was harder for her?
Playing football is really hard for my wife because the way I played football was a lot more reckless than a lot of guys. And I wouldn't say reckless. I just really cared about football. So I just gave all out. You know, I just went all out all the time, and which kind of scared my wife sometimes. But I think the fact that her seeing me in the state that I was in scared her way more than me playing football, because she knew that me playing football, everything I did was everything was well calculated. Everything I did, I knew exactly what I was doing. When I made hits, I knew exactly what I was doing. When I studied film, if I was in a certain area of the field, I knew exactly where I was supposed to be at. So she knew everything was well calculated. So, I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. But when I got injured, I didn't have any understanding of what I was going through. I was scared. And my wife seen me scared before, but just never in that type of situation. I just was very dependent. So those are some of the things that I felt scared way more than me playing football.
Ryan, I am sorry because...
Is there a second sneeze coming? I'm wondering.
This is, yeah. I want to talk, about, this. I want to talk about the sneeze. Yes, yeah. I want to talk about the sneeze because the subject matter was so delicate. We wanted to immediately start making fun of you, but the story, as you're telling it, it was totally inappropriate for us to just celebrate your sneeze because an all-pro, a Pro Bowl sneeze.
I have bad allergies, so... I'm used to sneezing, so I kind of built all those sneezes up to one sneeze.
Yes,
so I
can just, you really held it in.
Ryan, we saw it. You held it in for 7 minutes. It was like a championship effort. We saw you were pawing at your face the entire interview.
That's why I thought there was going to be a flurry of sneezes, and there was just one.
This is what Mike Tomlin means when he says that he doesn't blink. This is what he's talking about. This guy just held a sneeze for 7 goddamn minutes. I know it's a heroic effort by you. Your face has been twitching this entire time, and you have been pawing at your face. So your pain threshold is obviously your will, Ryan. It's crazy to think about, right? Because to get where you got. Took such extraordinary will, climbing over God knows what to get that good at football, where I know what I'm doing, I'm an expert, I'm precise, I'm not going to get that kind of hurt. I know what I'm doing out here while playing reckless. To go from that to as helpless as you've ever felt, correct? As needy as you've ever felt, as lacking in self-sufficiency as you've ever felt.
But I have a question for you two. You guys had to do the same thing to be where you are now. You know, so that's how I was when it came to football. I knew I wanted to be somewhere. I knew where I wanted to, how I wanted to be. I knew what my vision was for myself. And when it came to football, I knew I wanted to be a Hall of Famer. I knew I wanted to be a Pro Bowler. I knew I wanted to be the best inside linebacker in the game of football. I know there was Bobby Wagner. I know I was playing at the same time as Luke Kuechly. But I felt as I was progressing, I was going to be able to compete with those guys. And so I willed my way to get there, and that's the same thing I did when it came to my injury. I knew where I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to play football again. Obviously, I wasn't able to play football again, but I knew when you have really big dreams, you might not reach all your dreams, but you're going to reach some of them. And one of the biggest dreams I had was be able to play with my kids, run around with my kids, be able to walk and enjoy life. And I was able to do that. So, and that's the same type of things that I did when it came to the NFL. I knew I wanted to be a Pro Bowler. The first few years, I wasn't able to do that because I kept getting injured. But then I ended up making it, and I knew where I wanted to get, and that's the same thing I did when it came to my injury.
Are you holding one back right now? I feel like
No.
You look like okay.
You're going to segue again.
my nose is itching.
we're going to slalom course from this to difficult subject matter again and again between the sneeze. You're going to ask him a hard question?
I'm going to ask him a hard question. Right, because I'm just wondering. I think a lot of people are wondering what that moment is like. So can you do your best to kind of put us in that moment and tell us what it is that you were thinking and feeling, I guess?
This is the part that I imagine is hard to revisit again and again in doing a book tour and selling a book, Ryan. You know, this is the part that I imagine being the hard part of the story.
So this is what's crazy that people going to find out in the book is that in the moment that I got hurt, I wasn't even thinking about like, oh, man, I can't walk again. I had bought my wife a dog the day before. And I bought my wife a dog the day before, and it was flying in. Like, they were flying in from Indiana to Pennsylvania the next morning. So, like, my whole thought was like, man, I'm hurt. This isn't as bad as I think it is. Like, who the hell is going to get my goddamn dog in the morning? You know, and that was my biggest, like, that was my first thought. So I was just like, all right, well, I'm hurt. I'm going to get better. It's an injury, whatever. I'm going to figure it out. And all right, who's going to get my dog in the morning? Because right now, I can't drive to get it. You know, that was kind of my, like, I'm a real positive guy. So I always thought of, it might seem crazy to think of something like that, but that was kind of my thoughts when I was dealing with it. And then I just kept asking the dollar, hey, how soon would I be able to play again? Would I be able to play in the end of this year? Would I be able to play in the playoffs?
So still bulletproof, still feeling even as you can't move what couldn't you move? And you're still thinking, yeah, but I'm still bulletproof. I'll be fine. This is just something that happened.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I couldn't move my legs at a time. And that, as a football player, you have stingers, especially defensive players. You know what a stinger is. And I just thought it was somewhat of a stinger. And then when I was in the hospital for about like 2 weeks, then I started to be like, oh, yeah, all right. I understand, like, this is a way worse injury than I ever imagined it to be.
We love your coach. I think most people, your former coach, I think most people love your coach, Mike Tomlin. I imagine him to be still a very big part of your life, a guy who checks in on you every single day, who cares about you in a way that few other people
every
do.
Every single
is that
day.
Fair?
Every yes. single That's putting a lot of pressure on Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin is super passionate, man.
Every single day.
Tomlin loves Ryan, man.
Nah, he's super passionate. I'm not going to say he checks on me every single day. But we definitely talk. We definitely talk. If I hit him up, he'll hit me back immediately. I go visit the facility whenever I get a chance. So, yeah, but he definitely checks up on me. I talk to him. I talk to Mr. Rooney. I talk to a lot of... The one thing about me is that I'm a people person. I like to get to know people, and I got to get to know a lot of the, you know, people in the Steelers family before I even got hurt. Like the ownership team, the like the Rooneys, anybody else in the ownership team, the executive team, everybody at the Steelers, I used to get really close with them even when I was playing. So I was doing two things. I was trying to make it really hard to cut me, but also, I'm playing. But also, I just wanted to get to know people. I just like to know people, and I like to know what their job is, and I like to get to understand how they got to the level that they're at. And I just got to know everybody, and then me and Coach Tomlin continue to build a relationship from there. But even to this day, we still have a pretty good relationship.
Have you ever?
He doesn't check on me every day.
Okay, all right, my bad. Have you ever seen that man blank?
Never. He's never blanked, right? He never blinks. He never. Do you have some favorite Tomlins?
He doesn't blink. He doesn't blink around us. I'll tell you that.
Do you have any favorite Tomlin sayings? Because he has a very military approach to speaking, and his words can be funny sometimes, over serious sometimes when he's in front of a microphone.
No, so yeah, Coach Tomlin is a very serious person, but it's pretty cool. You know how like people are with like Bill Belichick. It's like when you're around him, you kind of understand. Like he's more of a human, and he's more personal than he is on, you know, camera. That's exactly how Coach Tomlin is. I feel he does a good job of understanding how each person is and understanding each person's strengths and weaknesses. So when it comes to coaching them and telling somebody, hey, or he's good at this or he's good at that, he's going to use their strengths to try to build up the offense or build up the defense. But also when it comes to coaching them, if getting yelled at in front of the whole team is not the best way for you to perform, he might, you know, talk to you behind closed doors. But some guys, if they get yelled at in front of everybody, he knows that they're such a competitor that that's going to help them excel past what they need to excel to. So I think that's one thing that he does a great job of. The thing is, I love about Coach Tomlin is that he really, he puts a lot of respect on everybody we play, but he also doesn't respect them. So it's kind of funny because he'll be like, so he'll be like, for instance, and I'm just using the name because me and Aaron are pretty cool. But Aaron's the best, you know, player in the NFL, Aaron Donald. So like, for instance, I'm gonna use Aaron's name. So coach would be like, we're playing the Rams today. Yeah, Aaron Donald, you know, he's a good player. Yeah, but he's a nameless gray face. He's just like a regular dude that we're playing every single week. And it's like, you just said he's a good player, but now he's a regular guy, you know? So it's just like, so like he'll let you know who's the best, but then also just like he'll tear him down to make you feel that you're just as good as anybody else on this field because you're in the NFL. And I think that he does a good job of motivating guys like that.
Which one were you, the guy he could yell at in front of people or the guy he had to pull aside to yell at in private?
So to me, he yelled at me in front of people, but it was kind of funny because it was these situations when he would be like, hey, Ryan, I'm going to talk to you to the side because it's like this is not necessary for everybody to hear, you know, but it will be situations like I remember I had a bad game. I was playing well. I felt like I had a decent game, but he found something in the game that I was doing bad. And so I had like 12 tackles in a game. And he was like, yeah, if Ryan keep playing like this, he's not going to be playing. You know, like, because, like, I had, like, 12 tackles, but, like, I was, like, avoiding blocks and, like, avoiding blockers and, you know, and I'll make a tackle. But he was like, Ryan, like, I don't like how you're playing, you know. So, basically, he did it in front of the whole team. And I'm scratching my head. Like, he put me on a big board. He was about to say something good. You know, I just seen me make a play. He's like, yeah, Ryan, keep doing this shit. He's not going to be playing this week. And I'm like, whoa, okay, hold up, all right.
He knew you could handle it though, right?
Yeah, he knew I could handle it. And then like from that point on, it's like he didn't have to put my name on the big board anymore if it was pretty much like obviously I'll make a mistake here or there, but after that, he didn't really put me much on the big board for bad plays.
For the audience, Ryan, the new book, again, Walking Miracle, How Faith, Positive Thinking, and Passion for Football Brought Me Back from Paralysis and Helped Me Find Purpose. It is available November 30th. Where are you on the journey to improvement, and how much improvement have you been able to enjoy and celebrate?
So I would say I'm about 85%. You know, I'm about 85%. And the reason I would say that is because I can walk. I'm perfectly fine when it comes to walking, but I still have a bit of a limp. I can't run a 40 as fast as I used to run a 40, you know? So, and it's just some things that I wouldn't feel comfortable doing nowadays. Like, for instance, if I was to get on a, you know, before I got hurt, I was able to go skiing and things like that. I don't know if I feel comfortable on skis right now. And just like little things like that, like things that make you really like, things that are really agile that you have to do. And even if you're not like a athlete, but it's still an agile type of sport, like skiing or something like that, I just don't feel comfortable doing stuff like that. So I would say I'm about 85%.
Ryan, thank you for being on with us. Thank you for sharing your story with everybody.
No, thank you for having me. And I hope everybody enjoys the book. I think it can help everybody in their journey. To me, it's the biggest thing about my book is that I use all the, you know, negativity and adversity that I've been through in my life before to help me overcome the big thing that everybody know about now. So I think everybody has that in their life. Everybody's can overcome adversity, and I just hope everybody enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays.
And no one's going to remember anything but the sneeze. It's just going to be the sneeze. They seize on these one things, and it's going to be, the whole episode is just going to be titled Ryan Shazier Sneezes.
I remember I was talking to my teammates before, and he was like, man, there's no such thing as somebody sneezing once. He's like, I never heard anybody sneeze. If somebody sneezes once, there's something wrong with them. And then that's my, I think that's like one of the few times I only sneezed one time before.
I gotta tell you, it was a hell of a sneeze, though. Like, you were really holding
it in. Yeah. You're still holding back the second one. Let's let go of the second one. Ryan, before you get on to the next one.
I really don't have to sneeze.
No, I think he was holding it in so long that he let out two sneezes at once. Like, I did. Yeah. It was a nice sneeze.
My nose is just itchy. I don't know why, but I really don't have to sneeze. But thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Stugatz, you hit him with a happy holidays.
Yeah.
When's the first time you'll throw a happy holidays at somebody?
Good question.
Is this the first one of the year for you?
It was too early, I thought. It was extra chummy, and it was because he's a celebrity.
First of the year for you?
That's what happened.
If I can explain myself, okay, he's been through a lot. Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
Wait a minute.
And I was wishing him and his family a happy Thanksgiving.
You did say happy Thanksgiving, though.
I said happy holidays.
Okay, wait a minute.
Let's examine this for a second.
I've got it right, don't I?
He's celebrating Hanukkah instead of Thanksgiving?
You never know. I mean,
Hanukkah is early this year, Stugatz.
Yep. Rod Carew.
Right.
Rod Carew is where he takes it.
He converted, Dan.
It's Sammy Davis Jr. Yes. Are we doing the show of that's the show we're doing, the handful of black Jews that there have been in entertainment? It's the Roy influence.
Jesus was a Jew. I don't think you guys knew that. Right? Read the Bible?
I didn't know that.
He was a Jew. Do I have this right with Stugatz? is what happened there.
I don't know
what happened. We were talking to a celebrity.
Yeah.
He was excited. He wanted to put a little extra packaging on the insincerity.
I want him to like me. I want him to leave this and like me.
And let me give him a happy holidays, indiscriminate holidays, because we're not quite close to the holidays yet.
Well, also, you're not sure if he's going to celebrate Hanukkah or Thanksgiving.
He's been through a rough time.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with anything, Stugatz.
I should be wishing everyone happy holidays. You're right. I just dawned on me, right?
Only, it's only someone who's been through a terrible time.
You're right.
Who has come 85%.
If Ben Roethlisberger was on here, I would not have wished him a happy holiday. You're right. You are 100% correct.
You just admitted, basically, that this is your explanation. I was trying to help you.
Yeah.
Because your way is worse.
Very helpful now.
Your way is worse than the... No, but you kept doubling down Well, it was just pity, Dan.
It wasn't a pity happy holiday. I don't know what I did. I mean, it was pity.
Well, now you know you have to wish everyone a happy holiday moving forward.
To be consistent.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Every interview has to end with a happy holiday, which is Halloween, basically.
I'm still wishing people a happy Halloween.
We're weeks out yet on...
You basically did the Chris Berman. Let me be the first to wish you a very happy holidays.
Mid-November.
Such a good
shot. And everyone made fun of me when I said that Christmas starts on November 1st.
That is a good shout by Jess. Berman always would do that.
No, it doesn't.
Let me be the first to tell you.
He does it every holiday. Let me be the first to wish you a very
When does he do
Merry
it?
When
Christmas.
Does he do it?
Yeah.
When,
how does November. He know he's first, though? But how does he know?
It's the general delusion and pomposity of Stugatz.
Okay. I'll find it. I'll send it to
you. If he's in on the joke, that's the joke. But Stugatz would absolutely think in every instance that he's the first to win. Man, this stuff distorts you. The ego of these businesses distorts you.
Do you think anyone else has wished Ryan Shazier a happy holiday yet?
No.
Do you?
I don't know how awkward people are around their feelings and pity. It was a very strange thing you did to wish him happy.
It was weird. I haven't done that to anyone else.
Happy holidays because you didn't know. That's basically Stugatz's general grappling with English and emotions. How do I express to this person that what they've gone through is a terrible thing? Happy holidays.
6 weeks before.
I'm surprised it wasn't followed by, like, here, do you want a 20?
It's unbelievable. And then I'm trying to protect him from him, and he's like, no, Dan, he's gone through a terrible thing, and happy holidays is the right thing to say.
Made it worse.
Well, now it's like it never happened.
Had a rough go.
Jesus Christ.
A Jew.
I did not think this Ryan Shazier interview was going to have this much laughter in it, because I want you to isolate his sneeze. I think it's the biggest in the history of our show.
Oh, it was a great sneeze.
No, my sneeze was bigger a couple weeks
Can
ago.
Can we have a sneeze off?
No.
I think the Ryan Shazier sneeze might rival Jess's sneeze.
Hmm.
I love and respect Ryan Shazier, one of my favorite Steelers of all time, but that sneeze had nothing on my sneeze a few weeks ago.
A sneeze off?
Are
we having a sneeze off?
You love him?
And respect
I do love him.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know him.
Okay, Billy, what is your deal today and every day? Between the happy holidays. At least I didn't say happy holidays. At least I could just say the word love.
I didn't start the happy holidays. Yes, Chris started that. I'm just, you know.
This is what Billy does.
I just love is a bit strong.
He's going to keep coming at you, and eventually you're not going to respect Ryan Shazier either.
You can respect
the today and every day.
Yes. What is your deal?
Harsh.
But you're saying Ryan Shazier. I think Jess might have just done the same thing that Stugatz did. Maybe she doesn't actually love him, but she's doing it because he's come through the happy holidays.
Yep. Stugatz.
I don't know what I did. Like, why is that bad? Like, we all love athletes, right? I'm not saying I'm in love with him. It's not romantic love, but I love him as an athlete. Like, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler for life. He's a great guy.
But what exactly are you saying here? That you had a better sneeze than his sneeze? Is that what you're saying?
Off. All right, let's see.
Do we have a library? No. Do we have a library of sneezes? Do we have a library of sneezes, or do we just have the sneezes isolated of Jessica and Ryan Shazier?
We have Shazier and we have Jessica.
All right, okay. So let's let's see. Let's play Jessica's. Jessica's was rather shocking.
Wait, why don't we not say which sneeze is which, and then we can decide which one was better? A blind vote, and then we'll know.
You don't think you'll recognize them?
No.
It's going to be painfully obvious.
I don't think so. I think sneezes are one of those things that, you know, is sneeze a gender-specific thing?
Play Jessica's, Roy. Let's see if we can tell.
Yeah, no, we're going to know. Why would you say
that? I don't know. Let's see.
You think that in an audio medium we're going to have trouble telling?
It's a sneeze.
I like Billy's idea.
Thank you.
You think sneezes don't have genders?
Correct.
Wow.
You think they do?
Do we have Dan sneeze anywhere?
Put it on the poll. Quit asking for things, Stugatz. They have what they have. We're not at ESPN anymore. Let's have the sneeze off.
It's your sneeze.
It's not a sneeze. It's a snort, and they don't have it. We're doing a sneeze off.
Sorry.
You want to stop the show and try and get the Ken Obergfeld sound? Because it's not a sneeze. It's a snort.
That would be a snort off.
Then that leads to the Ken Arnold sound. And...
Let's play.
Save it for the U tailgate, Stugatz. Snort off.
Let's play the first gender non-specific sneeze.
Thank you.
That could be either of them.
Shazier.
Let's hear it again.
Thank you.
That is definitely somebody who plays defense in the Steelers, on a Steelers team.
Thank you.
Yeah, obviously Ryan Shazier. No question, because of how guttural it is, how shocking it is.
Thank you.
It's clearly the sneeze of someone bigger than 6 feet tall, correct?
Thank you. At least 225.
That sneeze has two parts, though. A lot of sneezes are just kind of one fluid motion. That's like, Choo!
Yes, it's the word too, which you rarely see. It's the onomatopoeia. It is absolutely ahhhhh, and then the second syllable choo.
Thank you.
It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon sneeze. Now let's get to Jessica's.
Hers was bigger.
Hers was definitely bigger. Man, Jess.
Oh, but Shazier's has so much spit in it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just hit me in the face.
should we all do our
distinct sneezes? Yeah. It's just amazing the duality of sneezes that you can have.
How's your guys' fake sneezes? I mean, that's not probably safe with COVID, right? We shouldn't probably do fake sneezes.
Probably not.
Let's be reckless. What's the point of freedom if not for...
I'll go first. Here we
go. You're going to go fake sneezes. We're going to try and summon fake sneezes.
The key with a fake sneeze is like the part where your nose is going. You got to do that part too. Ready?
Hold on. Before
I like the I'll go first as if we're all lining up to do fake sneezes.
No one else wants to do it.
Here we go. Here we go. Pay attention to the first little noise you hear. Ready?
Achoo! Pretty good.
Do it again.
Let me hear that noise again.
No.
Front end noise.
No,
I need to hear.
No,
I
not multiple sneezes from one contestant.
Excellent.
Ooh, that was better.
That
was
excellent. Good. Excellent.
Oh, wait, there's another one.
Wow.
He's good at it.
Yeah. Lewis says he has a fake sneeze also.
Okay, but Roy has just whispered in my ear that we have a fake sneeze in the system.
I just did.
Sneeze. That is not a good fake sneeze. I don't know why we stopped the show to do that. Did you not vet the sound?
It was your fake sneeze, so you don't have to do one now.
Okay. That was Dan?
Yeah, that was Dan.
It's a very poor one. Tony, do you have one?
Achoo!
No, bad.
I'm not a good fake sneeze.
Wow, Billy, that's
a good idea for a bit.
I
thought it was good.
It was okay. It was.
I want to see Billy's.
It was aggressive.
I don't have a fake sneeze.
No, you have one.
No, I know my limits.
You have one in the bag.
Earlier today, Billy sneezed into his mask.
It was horrible.
What's the play on that? Yeah. Are you supposed to pull your mask down, sneeze into your hand? Because it seemed awkward.
Do you want to do a muffled mask sneeze, Billy?
Well, I sneezed into my mask and it was.
But now it's all sitting there.
It was a wet one.
He did the thing where he pulled the mask out to look at it. He like pulled the mask and he's like, ooh.
I wanted to see if there's any stuff on my face when I take my mask off. It's just a lot. It hurt a lot in my nose.
Jeez.
I do the multiple sneezes too.
I was just gonna say Billy's a multiple sneeze guy.
Yeah, you know me.
Most people have to do like three sneezes.
What's the most sneezes you've ever strung together?
Six. Oh my god.
Normal for me is two, but I've reached five before.
I've seen Roy do like nine.
I've done six, yeah.
Roy's pretty when Roy starts, he doesn't stop.
I'm a multiple sneezer,
yeah.
Give me some. Fist me.
Wait a minute. Tony was aroused by Roy being a multiple sneezer?
No, it doesn't stop there.
What a shocking development. Billy, are you going to do a fake sneeze or not?
Yeah, let me work up to it.
Okay,
Lewis Roy wants to do one.
He's got to work into his confidence. He's got to get into character. You said Lewis wants to do
one? Yeah, Lewis has a great
Again,
one.
Again, with Lewis has
he
no camera.
No, he has
Lewis
a great one.
Has hold no up, microphone, hold up, hold up. But on
he
the
announced
days that,
he had a good one.
On the days that Billy produces with snot in his mask, we go to Lewis All off inclusive. Mic and off
Lewis
camera.
Lewis has never asked to do anything on air here. He is claiming he has a great fake
so
sneeze.
So, the comfort he
Lewis
has
wants
me,
to introduce fiance, himself Dan. To the show's audience with the pressure of a fake sneeze here.
Yes.
Ready?
All right.
Ha!
That's your sneeze?
He copied me with that pre-noise.
No,
all right. That pre-noise. Was a part, I don't that like that.
Was, I mean, you saw it
That's my
well.
Trademark.
But who sneezes
Have you ever
like
heard
that?
A sneeze before, Lewis?
That's how I sneeze.
You left out the chew.
Mm.
Ha.
We've talked about this before because I'm wondering if maybe this is a language thing. Have you noticed that in English and Spanish that roosters make different sounds?
That is true.
Like in English it's cock-a-doodle-doo and in Spanish it's kikiriki.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the sneeze situation.
Original.
Yeah. Mike, do you want to try a fake sneeze from New York? Is Jessica's already got the real sneeze. I don't want to get into this contest. This is not a contest I'm interested in participating in.
All right. What's my motivation? Is it allergy season or just...
Well, Shazier or Jessica, Shazier claimed that his was allergy season related and so that this was why it was so wet.
Thank you.
That's not Shazier. That is Shazier.
Yeah, that's Shazier.
Play, should have asked Jessica.
That was Cody's.
Play Jessica's. Play Jessica's for me. Right. It's wet.
Man, Jess.
It's a mist.
It is a mist. That's one of the ones where you look at the hand after. Yeah,
I feel like if you're in the room, I feel like your hair moves.
Yeah.
Somebody like else's hair moves?
Yes.
You sneeze so much that you're blowing wind through the hair of Billy or Jessica. Wind and spray. You got it right with mist, but I got more than a mist. I got like the those those cloths that hit the front of your windshield when you're moving through the car wash.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cleaning
that
my
didn't
windows.
Come out of a human nose. That cleaned my entire windshield.
That's good. That's a good representation.
That's funny. It's exactly what it sounded like.
Really Wait,
Mike's going to try one.
Mine?
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to Mike's thing.
Mike's going
to
try a sneeze.
It's all right.
No, we want to hear it. We want to hear it.
I want to hear it for my personal record.
Yeah,
I mean, you are a child actor. You should be able to do this.
Oh, yeah. Allergy, S-E-Z-N.
Wish I had more time to practice, but.
And it's the winter.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
that
was real.
That was real.
I don't care what anyone tells me. That was a real sneeze.